Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Social Joey and Deb Evans Consulting. Here is your host, Jack Munson.
Thank you very much, and welcome back to Social Geek Radio, live from the Social Geek Radio studios in the greatest city on earth, Chicago. Jack Munson here with you today, and solo with someone from a franchise system that I found just to be absolutely fascinating with a great story, and I thought, let's get on Social Geek Radio as fast as we can with this story. I want to introduce everyone to Steve Schultz, the Director of Business Development from a franchise brand called Supporting Strategies. Steve, welcome to Social Geek Radio.
Hey, Jack. Thanks for having me today. I'm excited to talk to you.
Excellent. So you're outside of Boston, which I think is kind of ranks with Chicago as one of the greatest cities in the world.
I agree.
Tell us your story. Tell us about Supporting Strategies and what's the story behind the brand and a little bit about you yourself.
Sure. You know, I'm actually talking to you from the shores of Lake Sunapee here up in New Hampshire.
Nice.
You know, we are a virtual company. I do vacillate between the Boston office, my Boston home office, and a New Hampshire location. Gives me the opportunity to live and work wherever I choose. You know, Supporting Strategies is a very interesting company today. You know, for us to understand the work we do, because we didn't start out as a franchise brand. We just started out in the Boston market selling bookkeeping services. Think of bookkeeping services as transactional bookkeeping that every business needs. We pay bills and we pay people. We recognize revenue. We go through a formal month-end close process where we reconcile all of the appropriate accounts for every one of our clients. Transactional bookkeeping. And traditionally, transactional bookkeeping has been done by bookkeepers.
Right.
Right? A job. Since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution, people have hired a bookkeeper to come into their office one day a week or one day a month, full-time or part-time.
Right.
Right.
Got to have the big desk with all the ledgers and, you know, right. Yeah.
Absolutely. And to put this in context for something that everyone else might know, think about payroll. There was a time when every company in America had a payroll clerk. Today, every company in America probably uses ADP or paychecks to deliver payroll.
Yep.
That same shift is happening in bookkeeping. So what we've developed is a way to deliver services completely virtually. We never, ever go into the location of our clients. And without getting into the details, we've come up with very clever ways of picking up both the paper and the electronic documents for all of our clients. We pick up the paper and the electronic documents in a very unique fashion, and it's all delivered virtually to our employees. And those employees are very unique. I call them MBA moms. And they're not all MBAs or they're not all moms. But when I say MBA mom, it tells a story of an advanced accounting professional who works for us because we let them work from home.
Yeah, that's perfect. I just pictured her, right?
Yeah.
I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
You know, 50% of everyone getting an accounting degree is a woman, but the men aren't dropping out to have babies. You know, they want to work for us because they can put their kid on a school bus and get them off the school bus. And that work we do that I just described is very much deadline driven. Pay the bills on time and everybody's happy. So it really works well in this virtual environment. And again, they're not all moms. We might have someone working for us because they want to go on the golf course or they want to go skiing. Lifestyle is more important to them than work. They're leaving a little money off the table to work for us virtually. So by combining a virtual enterprise with really talented people, we grew extremely fast in the Boston region. We grew for 10 years, and when we were finally ready to grow nationally, we started on this process of franchising, and we started franchising. We started, the company was started by Leslie Jorgensen in 2004, still our CEO, and we started franchising. We grew sort of consistently in the Boston market. When we were ready to take it to the next level, we decided for a lot of strategic reasons that we wanted to grow by franchising. We wanted to find local business owners to help us grow their individual marketplace. You know, mm-hmm. we wanted to grow across the country by having local people develop their local community and by working with the local business owners and bringing these services to the local community. So we started franchising in 2013, and we've grown by 80 locations across the United States in just the last 4 years.
I like the idea too that it's that you're local. It's virtual, but it's still local, right? The franchisees are still part of that community, whether they're out in Peoria or wherever else, right?
You know, what's really interesting about it is the one job that's not virtual is business development. And what we understand about the local business community is that most businesses in the United States are not IBM or Chevy, right? Mm-hmm. You know, there's 20 million businesses in the United States, and only 0.1% of them have over 100 employees. Very small amount. The vast majority of those 20 million businesses are local regional businesses. And local and regional businesses, for instance, in the greater Chicago market, use local CPA firms. They're not using Ernst & Young and PwC. They're using local CPA firms to do their tax work. They're using a local payroll guy and a benefits broker and insurance salesman. So part of our model is that our franchisees get into their communities to do business development. They network with the CPAs and the CFOs and the bankers and the lawyers, so they understand how we can help their clients. And we sort of build a community networking, what we call evangelist development is the name of our sales philosophy. And we build by building relationships. And we felt that a local franchise owner would be more successful than if I just put a sales guy in a market and grew that way.
Right, because even though they really are virtual, they're part of that community, and it's someone a local business owner, you know, may network with and meet with, and you know, they're part of that local community, right?
Correct. Our franchisees, they're still working out of their home, and they got a lot of flexibility in their schedule, but they're going to chambers of commerce, they're going to you know, BNIs, they're going to Rotary clubs, to tech centers, alumni associations, they're meeting people. And in the process of meeting people, they're articulating our value proposition. Remember, there's a very big market for our services. Every small business or every business needs to pay their bills and pay their people. And our value proposition based on these stay-at-home professionals is very strong. We win over 40% of the incoming leads we get because people understand there's a better way for them to run their business than hiring that local bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm. So if they're all virtual, let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges that you as the franchisor may have, and maybe some of the challenges that franchisees have being virtual. Is there anything that you know, was an issue at some point that you guys overcame?
Sure. But let's talk about the whys first.
Okay.
And then when we understand the why, it'll help you understand the challenges a little bit better. So, you know, if you were to look at my FDD, you'd see that my director of talent, her name is Pammy Saylor. And it says right on there, because we're required to disclose what they did before they worked for Supporting Strategies, it says she was retired. Her and her husband were tech entrepreneurs and sold their business and had the big exit that we all dream about, right? And Pammy Saylor spends her entire winter on a yacht in the Caribbean. Don't we all wish we were so lucky? And if I told Pammy, you need to come into our office every day. She's our director of talent. She's got a long history of working HR, and and that's a big part of our business is finding these stay-at-home professionals. If I told her she had to come into our office every day, she wouldn't work for us.
Yeah.
What happens when you open up your world to the virtual environment is you can hire better people. All that we really care about is getting the job done and getting the job done effectively. Pammy's very passionate about our business model, loves working for Supporting Strategies, loves our mission, and works for us because we let her work from wherever she wants. She has internet connectivity wherever she is, and she can get the job done.
Yeah.
All of our employees fit that role. They're not the money-motivated person who's going to get the next job that pays better. They like the fact that we let them work from home. How do we get MBAs and CPAs to work for us as bookkeepers? By letting them work from home, by letting them work their schedule where they can be at the soccer field and get the work done, do meaningful work and raise their families. Our entire organization, all 350 of us today, all work virtually. And when you think about that, it means we have to manage by objectives. So one of the easy challenges to think of is, how do you know people get the work done? How do you know it's getting done accurately? Mm-hmm. So we built our own platform. We spent a lot of money developing this software called Workplace. And Workplace is a tool, it's a dashboard-driven tool that pushes the work and all the information needed to complete the task to our stay-at-home employees. And multiple people can see it. So a manager can see what an associate needs to get done. They can see what's due and what's overdue and what stage of the process it is of being completed. So one of the challenges is, how do you make sure the work gets done? You got to have systems that allow you visibility into the entire process. And you got to manage by objectives. We're not the guy on the boat cracking the whip, making sure you're pulling that oar.
Yeah.
What we do is we hire smart people who are committed to their clients. We give them the tools they need to get the job done. We validate that the job's getting done accurately. And our people are happy because they're living the life they want to live. We're also becoming really good at managing virtual teams. When we have meetings, we share screens. And we also share faces.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want you multitasking and doing other things when you're supposed to be present in a meeting. And we've found that by sharing your face, it forces you to pay attention. So we're learning best practices of manning virtual teams, one of which is to have regularly scheduled meetings where we catch in, where we catch up with each other, and the ability to use modern technology so I could rapidly see who's online. So by the color of the icon next to their name, I can see who's working, who's in a meeting, who's not working. I can instantly share screens with people. I can instantly talk to people and share face with people, voice and face chat. So we have a really robust UCC, which is a unified communications platform, to share information. It's very easy. Today, our clients call our employees every day, and their computers ring. And they can have a conversation. Did you pay Joe? And we chat. You guys probably all use something like Skype. We use Skype. Mm-hmm. We can chat. So you can get a real quick question answered really quickly. Hey, Joe, did that bill get paid today? Yes. Enough said, right? So by using technology, by requiring that people share their face, we eliminate, you know what you find out in an office today? Even if you talk to that guy down the hall, you're not getting up. You're Skyping them. You're chatting.
You're still doing it. Yeah.
You're still doing it.
Yeah.
We do it without the cost of maintaining that office.
Right. I look at so many of my friends who are still in a big office situation, and they're texting with their coworkers. They're sending an email when they have to with their coworkers who are 35 feet down the hall. And they're not having any FaceTime,
Right.
We probably have more FaceTime with some of our coworkers and customers than they do because we're constantly on Skype or FaceTime or something like that. And I think it's kind of redefining what we used to talk about as FaceTime. You work remote, sure. So you got to go into headquarters once a month and have a little FaceTime. Well, you can pick up your phone and have a little FaceTime this afternoon if you need to. So
absolutely,
it's a great. A great way that you guys have embraced technology. And I think too, getting back to what you were saying about the video calls, really having that as not just a conference call that's on in the background and everybody's got it on mute and you're doing a whole bunch of other work while you're, supposed to be communicating. I think when we have these video calls, it's just so much more engaging. And you can read expressions and body language, and it's just so much better for communicating than what, a lot of people sitting in cubes are probably dealing with these days.
Absolutely. But culture is also important. Mm-hmm. So in our Boston office, where we have like 55 employees, once a year, we bring all of our virtual workers to Freeport, Maine, where we rent out a dozen bed and breakfasts. And we have a weekend of wine and shopping. It's an outlet town. And what we're doing sometimes is I'm meeting people who have worked for me for years for the very first time. And I'm like, you're Joan. How nice to meet you, you know? And we already know each other. But what we're doing is we are building a culture.
Uh-huh.
So we need to recognize that we're human, right? I'll give you a couple more examples. I'm in the sales world. When anyone in my organization sells a service to a client, closes a deal, signs a contract, I get an email that says, this person just rang the bell, just closed a deal.
Right.
And we celebrate that success online. We send a video that has a funny video of someone ringing a bell or a cat ringing a bell. But we all jump in because it gets copied to their group. And we say, congratulations, Joan. So even though we're virtual, we still get to do the fun things like ringing a bell when you sell a deal. We share successes using our technology because we can automate that. Mm-hmm. Every time someone closes a deal in our CRM system, they have to drag the deal to the one column that triggers the ring the bell email that gets sent out to the entire group. So we celebrate it as a group and we don't feel alone. You know, we feel like we're part of a network and we're part of a group. We embrace the fact that we're alone because it lets us live the lives that we choose to live. But it doesn't take us out of the fact that we each have a real job to do and we need to act as humans. You know, it's not all about automation. Our process, yeah. Our business is about blending good people with good technology. Our clients love the fact that we didn't just offshore this work to India or to Asia or to a computer somewhere, that it's real people. So if you have a simple question like, did we get paid today? Did that check come in? Because those questions can be the difference between staying in business and going out of business. We need to answer them quickly. We need to be available, but we also need to be human. They don't want to call a call center and have to explain who they are every time they ask a simple question. The way business owners work is they say, did Joe pay us? They don't want to explain who Joe is and who us is.
Right.
You know, so we directly align our talent. So it's not that we're just virtual. But this bookkeeper works for this client, and this bookkeeper knows this client on a daily basis. They're probably talking every day. So while we're virtual, we're still very personal.
I think that's the key, is keeping it personal. And I love what you're doing with the, you know, when you get a new piece of business, to still celebrate that, right? Because, you know, winners and leaders celebrate. And I think it would be really easy for a company that's so virtual just to kind of, you know, let it go and assume that somebody will see that in a spreadsheet somewhere at some point. But I love the fact that you guys are ringing the virtual bell. And
absolutely.
No better way than with a cat video, right? So in the few minutes we have left, there's a lot of brands that are kind of moving in your direction. I don't know of any franchise brands that are quite there yet where you guys are at. But if people are looking to take their sales team or you know, their operations team or something a little bit more virtual and maybe letting some people work remotely so they can get that talent they want, what advice do you have as far as, you know, kind of taking it to the next step? Is it systems and software? Is it culture? Like where would you sort of point someone in the right direction?
So first of all, it's all of the above. And our most important member of our organizational team is our talent team. When you are hiring virtual, you really need to understand how to hire the right people. And it's not always the best bookkeeper or the best salespeople. People who work in a virtual environment need to be comfortable with technology, right? Mm-hmm. So you could be the greatest bookkeeper in the world, but if you're not comfortable with technology, multitasking, using systems, you know, you've got to be comfortable and intuitive with technology. So that's part of your interviewing process, is that you need to understand it's a little different in the hiring process. We need self-motivated people, and you have to get out of the mentality that I've got to watch people work. What you really are going to be forced to do as an organization is define clear objectives for your people and have a way of measuring those objectives. You know, many companies care that their people are spending half their day on Facebook. We don't care, because all we really care about is that you're getting the job done. If you're getting the job done to the highest degree of quality possible, what you do with your free time is irrelevant to us. and as long as the client's getting serviced properly. So you become freer. You're not worried about the things that many companies are worried about because you're just focused in on the objective. What is it your organization is trying to achieve? You need really good systems. So either you're going to buy those systems, Salesforce.com, HubSpot, any other CRM system, or like us, build your own systems. You need to have really good systems. You can't expect someone to work virtually if the data is sitting in a file cabinet in Cleveland.
Right.
Everything needs to be available to everybody when they need it. You need to have training built to deliver training to people as they need it. Training is not just show up, shove as much data into their head as you can, and then send them to work. The way people like training today is we have this thing called SSU, Supporting Strategies University. It's an online repository of all of our training modules. If you need to learn about how to pay a person, you Google it and it pops up. So you can take the training real time when you're ready to do the job. That's how people learn. By actually doing. So you need systems to support stay-at-home people. The beauty of it is you don't have to have the overhead.
Right.
Like, we don't own an office today, which means we don't have desks and chairs and air conditioning and heat and light and all of those costs. Think of my Boston office. I have 50 employees. What would the cost in Boston be to house 50 people?
Oh, wow.
Probably somewhere
nice? Yeah.
Yeah. Like a lot of money, probably most of our profit. For us, we pay people when they work. When they don't work, we don't pay them. We've built our system where the work generates their pay and it also generates our revenue. It's a variable cost model. So the incentives of doing it are so great that investing in that system, which is really scalable, allows us to rapidly add teams. We work in a SaaS environment, so it's easy for us to add employees and to add seats. We don't own a server in our company.
Wow.
All of our technology is delivered through the cloud.
Yep.
And we can provision an employee in a day and get them up and running.
Servers are like real estate. Do you want to rent it? Do you want to own it? Sounds like you've got the right concept there. This is Social Geek Radio, and tonight's guest is Steve Schultz, Director of Business Development from Supporting Strategies. Steve, in the minute we have left, if anyone would like to chat with you a little further about what you're doing there, about Supporting Strategies, anything else, what's the best place for them to reach out to you and contact?
Yeah, two places. I mean, first, go to our website, supportingstrategies.com, and there's a lot of information there. And you can fill out a form, and we would contact you. Anyone can reach out to me directly just by sending me an email to steve@supportingstrategies.com, and I'd love to talk to you. I love to talk about my business. We're always looking for people all across this country. We're really growing rapidly, but we're also here to help. We understand that we're part of a business community, and anytime I can educate anyone or help anyone with their own challenges, I'd love to do that.
Perfect. Steve@supportingstrategies.com is the email. Check it out. Talk to Steve. And Steve, thanks so much for joining Social Geek Radio tonight.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you. And we'll talk to you next week, everybody. Good night.
Thanks for listening to Social Geek Radio. Copyright 2018 Social Geek Radio.